Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no business like show business.
Oh, and away we go.
Hello again, and welcome to the art and business of community theater presented by the Monroe Community Players and featuring the Green Room Groupies. Each episode, we discuss issues relevant to the operation of a successful theater and how to produce the highest quality shows for your audience. And sometimes we slip into other topics as well. You certainly understand how Green Room conversations go. I'm David War, still the de facto leader of our little band. Looking around the Green Room today, I see
Carol Slifka.
Ron Roberts.
Brian Burchett Ross. Hey, Ron, look, we're in the same room again.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Yes, isn't that exciting?
So nice to have you both back.
Yes. Well, she kind of looked weird when she said that, but okay.
And I will say, we were hoping to have even more people here with us today because today is somewhat of an anniversary for us.
It is.
Isn't this number of 75?
It is.
It is.
It is. It is.
Isn't 75 the diamond anniversary?
Yep.
Do we get diamonds?
That's what we should be getting.
That's what I expect the de facto host to give us.
I would think.
Oh, I was thinking we get them.
Oh.
So it's up to all the groupies out there in groupie land to
send us diamonds.
Send us diamonds.
Please do.
Nice side
PO
step there.
PO Box 23.
but it is nice because in every 25 episodes or so seems to be our pattern, at least as since episode 50, mm-hmm. I was taking a moment to pause and kind of reflect upon where we've been, where we are, and where we think we're going.
I'm just along for the ride.
Brian.
I'm not driving.
and that was something because it's hard to believe that it has been for us. And sorry, if you're not into a show about I can't say the word now. Aggrandization.
Close enough, yeah.
And congratulations and
I can see it.
Mutual back patting and all that. And then you might as well skip to episode 876 where we'll talk about other stuff. But we're going to take a minute to pause for ourselves. It's hard to believe, though. It has been about 3 years. We started in September of 2021, which may be on a quiz that I think Brian has for us later.
Just rattle off all the answers.
Where's
now,
a pen?
And it was, we were coming out fresh out of COVID. Brian, I believe, was the first one to suggest, hey, why don't we do a podcast? And I said, hey, that sounds like an idea. And next thing you know, me, Bob, and Brian are sitting in a room. Recording. Mm-hmm. Just three of us.
Yeah.
And then on episode 2, we brought in Ron.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history. Sometime around episode 40, I think it was, Kathleen joined us. And I'm giving the whole darn. Okay, I won't tell you anymore because things will be coming along.
All the faithful listeners should already know
this. We should all know this. But, we grew to where we have our somewhere between 4 and 6 of the groupies together at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
I won't mention guests and all that stuff because I'm sure they're on the quiz too. And you hear me keep talking about the quiz is our faithful producer extraordinaire. I'm trying to give you a title there.
I know. Thank you. You know how titles are so important to me.
He has slogged through all 74 previous episodes to come up with some trivia, and we're going to do a quiz, which should be enlightening or disheartening. We haven't decided. We're still hoping that Mr. Yeoman will be able to join us yet today, and possibly another surprise guest, but that's a possibility. So stay tuned, and
unfortunately,
you won't know until it's too late.
Unfortunately, Kathleen won't be able to.
Yes, unfortunately, Kathleen will not be with us today, or for the next episode. But don't worry, she will be back, and we're hoping.
She's still with us.
She is still with us, and she does have a trip report, I believe, because she did get down to Tennessee, mm-hmm. and I think was. I don't know. I didn't hear whether she was able to visit the theater.
She was,
and so
she was.
Okay, so good. We're going to have a trip report. Today we're going to have a quiz instead of our usual reviews and things like that. But we are also going to discuss a few things.
But we also just promote a little bit in the future. We do have a Broadway review for episode 76.
Yes, we do.
So be
Broadway Brian is ready.
Broadway Brian went back for all of you. The only reason I go back it's to New York is for all of you listeners.
And we thank you.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
So today, what we wanted, I say we're pausing, but I think it's when we look back to when we started, theaters coming out of COVID, people were just kind of getting back together again. It was a long, hard couple years for sure during the pandemic, a pandemic that frankly is not really over, but we're pretending that it is. That's not a political statement. It's just, you know, COVID is still out there, along with whatever next avian swine or whatever flu is going to get us. We wanted to talk a little about the state of theater in general, and frankly the state of community theater as well. Back in 2000, it appears,
the
Stephen Sondheim. Yes, I do. Well, and I dug up, you know, our original back from episode 2, you know, my little agenda are I was surprised to find out that I really do put a lot more information in these little notes.
Well, you know, when Peter Jackson discovers all these tapes and does the big documentary, this is going to be gold.
It is. It is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Especially when the big gorilla comes in.
Who's got the squeaky chair?
It's usually me. But
I think it's me.
I think Ron got that this time.
Okay.
But
just
anyway.
Because the last episode where we had it?
Yeah.
It was squeak, squeak.
It was
squeak.
Pretty.
Yeah. Ron is now switching chairs.
Okay.
For the record, Brian made me move to this chair.
Right.
So
this is all going to get cut setup. Anyway. So
yeah, right. Have you listened to the last 74?
He is brutal with the editing.
There we go.
Yeah.
Much better.
But anyway, Stephen Sondheim made a comment, and this, like I say, was back in 2000, so it was a quarter of a century ago. Can you believe that? All of us in the room are, except for maybe Ron, are of a certain age.
Ron's getting there.
You're still the baby.
Okay, that's a relative term.
This would be half a lifetime ago, Ron.
Okay, well, okay, all right, fair. I was 25.
Wow.
I was four.
You have two kinds of shows on Broadway. Revivals and the same kind of musicals over and over again. All spectacles. You get your tickets for The Lion King a year in advance, and essentially a family comes as if to a picnic. They pass on to their children the idea that that is what theater is. A spectacular musical you see once a year, a stage version of a movie. It has nothing to do with theater at all. It has to do with seeing what is familiar. We live in a recycled culture.
Oh.
And that was with his interview with Frank Rich back in 2000. I had posted this on our Facebook page, by the way. I don't believe we've got any comments on it, oddly enough.
That's a lot to unpack there.
It is a lot to unpack, and because here we are 25 years later, almost 25 years later. Actually, it would be if you come through 2000. So 25 years later, here we are 3 years later, looking at, you know, and I guess, so I'm thinking, where are we today? Has Broadway changed? Was Mr. Sondheim correct at that time? So let's get a little philosophical. Where do you think we are, and what is the place of theater, especially community theater, in America today, or the world?
One thing I discovered, I was on in the social medias, which I don't recommend for anyone, fell into a rabbit hole about Tom Holland being in Romeo and Juliet.
Okay.
On Broadway.
Because he's too old?
No. So the show itself, the set is minimal, if anything, and the actors are all wearing black. That is the setting.
Sounds like the production I did for Players a few years ago.
Okay. So, and what the discussion became was, what has happened to theater? I expected, if the money I paid, I expected to see a big spectacle. I wanted big flowery sets. I wanted huge, you know, costumes. They wanted all these different things. And I think it fits right into what Sondheim said, is that people have this expectation of what theater is and what it has been. And yet here is someone, and I'll have to look and see who the director is, but who's someone who has interpreted this show into this way to where it's minimalistic. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's well done. But yet the audience that seems to be a little mixed as to whether or not they actually appreciate what they're seeing, because they're only seeing, quote unquote, the art, not the art of what they expect. So,
and kind of a tangent of that, even with the community theater, because I just referenced our production, Romeo and Juliet, a few years ago. And one of the things that we got a complaint upon by someone who I won't mention her name, but lovely woman, we've communicated back and forth a few times since, but she was disappointed because we did not have the fancy sets and the fancy costumes that she had expected, because that's what she had seen in other Shakespearean productions. Ours, by comparison, to something like a Stratford or something, was obviously very minimalistic. We tried to do some interesting things with the costume design, so that it was the Capulets and the Montagues, and we tried to color code them so you could tell which family was which, that kind of stuff. But, like I say, it was not lush production by any standards. Mm-hmm. And she, so we had at least one audience member who was disappointed by that. So that, that was less than 10 years ago now. I can't remember when we did it.
And then just to follow up real quick. So the director is Jamie Lloyd, who has also done Betrayal in A Doll's House. But it does say in this review that he is known for his radical remodeling of classics, usually around young A-list actors. Mm. So it is something that he's done in the past, but I think it's something that either for whatever reason, audience members are seeing seems to be having a problem with. And that's actually in London's West End. I apologize. It's not on Broadway.
Oh, London's West End. I performed there once.
Close enough.
Yes. I'm still trying to wrap my head around Tom Holland as, I assume he's Romeo.
Yes.
Yeah.
That just doesn't work for me. I'm sorry.
Why?
He's too old. I mean, I know he's a baby compared to me, but still.
Yeah, but John Travolta was in his 30s when he did Grease as Danny Zuko, who was a high school...
I can forgive that for a comedy.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah. Well, it's. I mean, it's a musical
comedy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a farce, but it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're doing straight Shakespeare, and Romeo and Juliet, and you've got a 35-year-old Romeo,
maybe he brings in the money.
And then there's that. That's which is my point.
He does have kind of that baby face.
He does. But who's Juliet? Anybody we know?
Her name, and I apologize if I'm
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, exactly. No. It's
Emily Blunt.
Francesca Amahuda Rivers. Now, there's another issue there that is another entirely...
She's only 14.
Well, no. Is that she's a person of color.
Oh.
So that opens in another... Yeah. Can of worms that, I'm not at, I don't have the ability to comment on that, but there's another level of commentary out there that I don't want to get into about
that. To be honest, there shouldn't be any commentary on that. That Shakespeare is one place where it's like, who cares?
Right.
It should be.
But unfortunately, we know that's not the world we live in.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I have an idea about that too, but... And if we go back to, I can't remember what episode it was, where I had come back.
14.
Episode 14, thank you. Where I had come back and did a review of Macbeth with Daniels.
Right.
Daniel Craig. With Daniel Craig. That show. Craig Daniels. His brother.
Can't we have him having two first names?
That hardly had any kind of a set. That had a beautiful, basically cement-looking wall that, as I described, kept moving forward as the show. Other than that, it had chairs and one really long table. And they utilized those chairs and that table for everything. Except, again, like I had said, the witches were actually making food, which smelled wonderful. Other than that, there wasn't anything else. The people didn't wear the costumes that you would expect. Daniel Craig wore a gray T-shirt and some kind of khaki pants. No one wore, it wasn't a period looking piece. It was just as amazing. Mm-hmm. the acting was excellent. Mm-hmm. So I think there are two camps, as there are usually in any kind of, maybe in a lot of groups and organizations and whatever. I think there are two camps right now. One that says, Broadway is, as Sondheim said, We have to recycle. We have to do, we have to grab any movie we can and make it a musical or a show or whatever and just keep recycling. Tootsie, An Officer and a Gentleman. and then there are those that are saying, listen, let's take it back to the basics. Let's make the acting and the stories the important part of theater. That's my thought.
So to that, I have a question to the rest of you in the room, because I'm not as learned in Shakespeare as you guys are. But in general, do you think as a society we have become so enamored of the shiny objects that unless there's a shiny object, we don't necessarily have the tools or the ability to grasp what we're seeing? So to the Shakespeare, where you're making it all about the story and about the characters and the actors, if there's not that distraction, do people just not have the desire or the ability to really dive into what actually is being said and what they're seeing?
I don't know.
I don't understand the question.
Well, I think I do. So, for example, if they're not going to Lion King, where they're seeing life-size puppets around them portraying the animals.
And stage lights swirling around.
If you're paying $200 to see a show, are you disappointed when all you see is people in black pants and T-shirts in front of a bare stage?
Quoting Shakespeare.
But that's...
Quoting Shakespeare, yeah.
What I was thinking is, are you saying that you have to have Tom Holland or Craig Daniels to be something shiny? Is that your shiny?
But also the setting and the costuming, because there's been that issue where people are like, well, I expect to see all these bright things. When I see Romeo and Juliet, I expect to see period pieces. I expect to see color, all these elaborate sets. And when it's not there, so do people go to see a show to see a show and not experience what is being said?
Well, I think there's two different camps on that. If I go to a musical, I want to be wowed. If I'm going to a straight show, especially a drama, no. Then it's all about the words and the acting and the...
But can I do a little counterpoint on that?
I will allow it.
I've missed you. I'm thinking of all the shows I've seen in the last year and a half, musical-wise. Hadestown was one. Big sets, move, all over the place, great music. I truly, truly enjoyed it. But if I go back to the musical in the last year or maybe 2 years that hit me, it had none of that, and it was called Come From Away. It just had chairs and tables,
right?
And that was pretty much it.
And that was the story that drove it.
Was the story, and that to me is even better than Hadestown, because I didn't. That was the musical where I went, wow, I got sucked into this without all that jazz.
But is it because it was 9/11?
Yes. See, I think it's because people knew that story. Because
people had already had an emotional connection to that story. You take a 20-year-old to Come From Away, they're going to go, eh.
But
because we lived through it, I think there's an automatic
connection.
Predisposition.
I bet you, and of course we have no way of knowing this, but there will never be a revival of Come From Away.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't think there will be, because there won't be that emotional connection.
Right.
There won't be.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a timeless story, but it's not. Because it's deeply rooted into an exact event that happened.
Yeah.
And there are people, there are people that are under the age of 27 that don't have any concept of what that event was like.
And I'll tell you, I just came back from another trip to D.C. with 200 eighth graders, and that was so much fun. But we went to the Pentagon Memorial.
Oh, that is devastating.
It is. Mm-hmm. But even... And those kids, of course, were born way past it. And even some of the younger teachers that have been there, they don't have that sense of, I don't know what the word is, that sense of loss and heartache and everything else that goes along with that. Even though they still do when you go to the war memorials – Mm-hmm. You know, even though everybody's way past that, I mean, I know this is hard to believe, but World War II was before my time. But yet I go to that memorial and I get that sense of whatever. Sure. So I don't know if it's the scope of it or what it is.
Yeah, well, because that's what I was just thinking. Well, but then, you know, these movies about World War II seem to be on the rise lately.
Right.
Well, let me ask
TV shows and such.
Let me ask you this. And I know we're tangenting just a little bit, but I think we're staying on this same theme maybe here. If you were to take those kids to the Holocaust Museum.
I did.
Did that affect them? Do you think that affected them at all?
Not as much because, again, they hadn't studied it yet. They didn't have the background knowledge. Remember, these are eighth graders. Mm-hmm. And in at least in Michigan, in the curriculum, you don't really get the Holocaust really deep until high school.
That's true.
Ron's going to disagree.
No, no, I'm not. What I'm going to say is all we really need to do when you ask that question is look at the world and what's going on right now with Palestine and Jerusalem. Yeah. There are still people out there that are college educated that still question the validity of things. Mm-hmm. So I understand where you're coming from, but this is not the world that any of us grew up in.
So, no, that's very, very true.
So
that's very true.
So given that, but doesn't that mean that shows like Come From Away and things like that are actually all the more important now? Because don't we in theater have an obligation to show the world not only as it is, but as it might have, as it was?
As it was.
So do you think if they do a revival of Come From Away, would they have to jazz it up?
I don't know if they'd have jazzed it up, but would they have to explain the situation more?
Yeah.
Because, again, like you said, most of the audience, when I went to see it, you know, was a typical theater audience, which tends towards the older side. We already knew what they were going to talk about.
Right.
I had refused to see Come From Away for a while because I said it's too soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, I had a bunch of kids that didn't know. They thought the only planes that hit were in New York City. They didn't know about the Pentagon. They didn't know about Shanksville. So I was explaining that to them, and their jaws were just hanging open. So, you know, I think it depends on how much you front load them, too.
Yeah.
So you may be right in that if they do it in the future, they're going to have to do a lot more front loading so people understand what was going on. And I mean, it's explained in the show.
Right. And I would say, you know, we also, let's take a more lighthearted version of something like Oklahoma, which does have its tensions. Monster hit once upon a time.
Isn't that one of your favorites?
One of my favorites. I just...
Brian adores it.
Oh, yeah. Brian's one. Brian I knew one it. Of you just was obsessed with loving it.
It's a shame that the sequel Nebraska just didn't do its job.
I do like the movie version called Oklahoma, but you can only find that in certain locations.
Yes, but you can edit that. But again, it's the same kind of thing. It takes place in a certain time and space too that doesn't seem to have to be described. So maybe it is a matter of. Does the play do a proper job of setting the time and place, or is it going just for the factor of, well, everybody knows? And maybe that's trouble. Because Shakespeare, you know, 600 years later, we're still doing it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because it's free.
It's free. but again, it's because the themes still resonate.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You're right.
Well,
you're
right. The themes resonate because some of those were... I don't know, maybe not. Weren't some of those the original? I mean, everybody says there's no real noose.
Shakespeare-based stories, but, plays on other stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, they are timeless types of stories, revenge and lust and, you know.
So given what Sondheim was talking about, you know, the recycling, I think I would push back a hair on that. No, sound just turn the subject.
I saw what you did. I saw what you did. Kathleen isn't here to do it. Somebody's got to do it.
but part of that is, to a degree, Broadway's always recycled. Mm-hmm. Because before movies, they were basing things on books. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like suddenly musicals spring out of whole cloth. That is a rarity, I think. Because there's usually a book, there's usually an event, there's usually something else that it is based on.
Okay.
I'm just saying, is I don't, you know, so is it any more legitimate to say this show came from a book, so it's more legitimate than this show that was based on an animated feature by Disney.
Well, let me throw some examples out for you. Musicals and non-musicals, okay, past and more present. One of our all-time favorites we love to talk about, Odd Couple. What did that come from?
Well, that was, you're correct. That was Simon.
Camelot.
Simon came from. Up, yeah, Neil Simon came up with Odd Couple.
Camelot, now, that came from
Legends.
Once and Future King, or, right. You know, that.
T.H. White, I think it's Once and Future King.
Right.
But on earlier Legends, Arthurian Legends.
Right. Let's throw out Oklahoma. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I think there was quite a volume about that.
Was there?
I don't know.
No, Cats. Now that Cats came from T.S. Eliot. So I don't know. I'm trying to throw, what I'm trying to do is throw that I think it's always been a mix. I think there's always been a mix of the people that can think of it. Rent came from La Boheme, but it was updated to relate to a newer audience. Hello, Dolly.
And the same with Hamilton, for example. That was based on historical events. But
sure. Hello, Dolly. Is that based off of anything?
Hello, Dolly is actually based off another play.
The Matchmaker.
And what was that based off of?
Why is his name expecting Wilder? I think Wilder was Wilder. may have been the original work, but again. The musicals in particular, I'm thinking, tend to come from other places. Mm-hmm. You do obviously have original plays, you know, so it's a little fast on that. But I'm just saying is that it's nothing new to have things recycled.
No.
Right.
Well, but I would say if you look at the state of theater now, you are much more likely to find that recycled. That, you know, all the intellectual property that these companies own, that they want to just keep farming and mining until they can find something new. Part of that, too, probably is because it's money-based. I mean, it always has been.
Always has been.
It always has been. Yeah.
Disney didn't throw Beauty and the Beast on stage because they were being altruistic and saying, right. This story is so powerful, we have to get it out to more people. They were saying, let's make a buck.
Mickey needed new shoes.
Yeah.
But I do think, though, so unfortunately.
Minnie's bow was looking tattered.
Unfortunately, perhaps the artistic bit of it has kind of taken a backseat. Whereas you may have that new playwright who has this great play that may be a great show. But you're looking over here at, here's Aladdin 2. Well, I'm probably going to do this because I can make money off this. I know because people know it. They're going to buy tickets.
Right.
And then again, is this a trap that our community of theaters fall into?
Yes.
Because I would tell you, you know, we all know this. There are playwrights beating down our doors to get their stories told.
Mm-hmm.
Grosse Pointe Theater this weekend, actually, will be hosting a 10-minute play festival. This weekend being June 13th, 14th, and 15th, I think. They're doing a 10-minute theater festival. I happen to know that there were hundreds of entries for that. For 10-minute plays, just for a chance to get that little bit out there on the stage. There are plenty of stories out there. What there aren't is, you know, plenty of stories that will be guaranteed to make money.
Well,
and it depends on the quality of the play, too. I mean, you can't just assume that just because somebody writes a play that it's good.
It's good.
Yeah. Well, you even look at our own.
In fact, I would say it's more likely to be the opposite.
Exactly.
Look at our own group. We did two original works this last season for people within the community that wanted, you know, and they were well received. By the audiences, so I think there is always that chance to take on with somebody. But
I think part of that, though, if I may play devil's advocate on that, is they were well received by our community, but our community, the people that came to it knew those playwrights or knew people that were in the show that you know. So I think the bigger, to really decide whether a new show is good, I think you'd have to take it out of your community, put it in a different community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and turning along there, so when we think about our theaters and what our mission is, you know, I wonder if a lot of us are falling prey to the idea that we are going to be like Broadway. And so the theaters are looking at the bright, shiny things, not necessarily, and presenting it to the audience, and not necessarily the audience is demanding them, but this is what we're going to do.
Because it's what Broadway's doing.
Because from my observation, and it is only an observation, folks, and please don't take this wrong. I want you to keep listening to us. But as I look at groups around the area, you know, the musicals, the newest musicals seem to hit everyone's stage about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like as soon as it's released, boom, 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 we're all doing it. Mm-hmm. We've been waiting to get it, biting at the, you know,
chomping at the bit.
And just, you know, like Sandy on a bone, that's as close as we're going to get today.
Are we back to Greece?
That was Annie.
Oh, wrong Sandy. Wrong bone. Sorry.
Oh, jeez. Jeez. Oh, my God.
I don't want to say on a bone. You mean with a bone.
No, yeah, attacking the bone.
Yeah.
The ham bone.
Let's just stop that right now. The
number 75, folks.
The ham bone.
It was a good run.
Steak bone, whatever dogs chew on.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we're there to get that show and to snap it up. And because we know it's going to be a hit, we know our audiences are going to come to it, and we know we're going to sell it. But is that why we exist?
It shouldn't be.
No.
At all.
Yeah. And
but on the other hand, you are presenting new theater.
Yes.
To somebody.
Yep, that's true.
It's not about. It's
but you know.
Assuming that what people are going for, what they're looking for, is quality material to begin with,
right.
Which if it's a big Broadway hit, it usually is. So it's just about,
yeah.
I think, about attracting more people.
And certainly we're presenting shows to them that they, you know, most people in our audience are never going to step foot on a Broadway, in a Broadway audience,
mm-hmm.
though it may have been their dream. Marge Simpson, since I was a little girl, I always dreamed of being in a Broadway audience. I just love that one. But it's the kind of thing, and maybe the show in the West End didn't have any sets or costumes because Tom Holland sucked up all the budget with his Saturday.
Could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
You know, because he's the bright, shiny thing, not necessarily the play.
Sure, sure.
But that's the kind of thing. We don't have that. But we certainly don't have the million-dollar budgets either, or multi-million-dollar budgets these days.
To piggyback off of what Carol just said, though, I found it interesting. Every night, almost every night after we had finished Steel Magnolias, after the show was over, somebody came up to me almost every night, our generation or even older, in one instance, and said, you know, I'm going to have to watch the movie now because I never watched the movie. I didn't know this story. And that made my jaw drop because I have been, for almost 75 episodes, the one saying, why are we doing Odd Couple and Arsenic and Old Lace and that over and over and over when it has been done to death and everybody's seen it? And I have had pushback with people saying, no, there's always a new audience for these shows. And you both.
Absolutely.
And it like hit me right in the face. And I'm like, okay,
yep.
I was wrong.
Cause
episode 75,
yep.
I was wrong.
I think that's the title.
I was wrong. Yeah,
but I'm constantly reminded of that by my
infamy.
You know, by my niece and nephew. We're watching The Great Outdoors at my mother's the other day. Niece came over.
Honestly,
oh, great. Well, okay, we're waiting for this scene to come up. Says, I've never seen this movie before. And I looked at her and said, how long have you been on this planet? What do you mean you've never seen it? Surely I have shown you this movie before. And nope.
Well, and we all have that. I've never seen, to this day, I've never seen Big Lebowski. And everybody looks at me and says, "You, Brian, this is the kind of movie you'd love.
But at least you were born then.
Well, that's true.
She wasn't even born when the movie was made. She did, to her credit, know the stars.
Well, there you go.
But it's that kind of thing. So, yeah. So there are people out there right now that have no idea what The Odd Couple's about. They may be listening to us today. And, yep, go check it out, folks. Neil Simon. It's one that it is whether you like it or not, from our perspective, it is a classic.
It is a classic. Absolutely.
Both versions. Female version, in some ways, I think, is better than the male version, by the way.
I understand. Do they have a movie version of that?
No.
The female?
I don't know why. His only problem was I think the game that Trivia Center Pursuit. Run, he picked a fad game, and it's like, no, that didn't work.
Can I say, though, to go back to your original question, the original question a couple hours ago, is the...
That's how long it takes us to edit this down to 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. We're on hour 5 of our discussion right now, folks.
This is what we kept?
Yeah. How is community theater now, 4 years later after
COVID?
I will have to say, from what I've seen, from what our group has done in the last 4 years, and from all the shows Kathleen has brought back to us and reviewed, I think we're on better ground probably now than we maybe even were right before COVID.
I'm not sure I fully agree. I think a lot of groups have repurposed themselves and reevaluated. I know our group, mm-hmm. you know, we've taken a hard look at what we've done and kind of made some adjustments. I think, unfortunately, though, we're a smaller community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I mean, there were just groups that did not make it through COVID. Now, if our community is any indication, though, there are other groups trying to fill those holes. Mm-hmm. You know, right now I can think, you know, I remember a time when Monroe had exactly one community theater group, and that was Monroe Community Players. You either did a play with us or you just didn't do plays.
Right.
And now there are at least 3 other groups mm-hmm. Still out there trying to do it. But, you know, there's a certain struggle in whether you can fill the audiences. Audiences have started to come back. Mm-hmm. But like I say, I think we lost a lot of good groups. I was a little shocked when the Michigan Shakespeare Festival.
Yes.
Which is not technically community theater, to my understanding. But they're dark this season.
Yeah.
Because they just couldn't get the funding and the audiences weren't showing up for them yet.
Yeah, I did see that. Maybe I did misspoke. Maybe we're not in a good place.
And that's where I think groups like ours and a lot of groups out there, the smaller groups, actually may have an advantage. We don't have the overhead that some of the big groups have. You know, we don't have an artistic director to pay. We don't have a managing director. We don't have a business office. We don't have, you know, all these other people that actually are depending in part, or at least a livelihood.
Right.
We're lean and mean, so to speak. And I kind of wonder if the smaller groups is where the future is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we don't need the audience to come back like it used to keep moving forward.
Right, right. Yeah, I think you might be right there. And
not that we wouldn't appreciate those big audiences.
Sure.
Because we would like, you know, like every group out there, we have goals, mm-hmm. our own facility and things like that someday.
But as you said also, after COVID, repurposed?
Reevaluated,
redid. And we chose to, because we're in a smaller venue, because we had lost a year and probably some of our following, we chose to focus on stories and acting over the shiny pieces for people to see. Yeah. And I think for us, for Monroe Community Players, we have done well with that. And we have more than achieved what we set out to do. Because if you look at what we, Monroe Community Players, has done in the last year or so, almost every one of our shows, and again, this may be to our advantage, we have limited seating, and we're a small theater, but we have nearly, if not always, sold out on most of our shows most nights, and have gotten a lot more standing ovations than I remember in a long time. So,
well, and I wonder, we could almost say we're in-your-face theater.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
Because you are sitting that close.
It's true.
Yeah, that is true. You
know, both literally and figuratively in your face. But we have done shows that I know pre-COVID we would never have touched.
Absolutely.
I also think we've done a good job.
And 3 of you are in one of them that I just love.
We've done a really good job of adapting to the way people's lives have changed to where they don't necessarily need that connection to a group. And I know we've talked about this ad nauseum on other episodes where COVID changed things and people realized that they don't necessarily have the time or they don't need to have those connections. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that our group has been small for a long time, that we've capitalized on the fact that people don't want to join. That sounds really bad, but we have been able to maximize what we can do with who we have.
Yes.
And I think some of the larger groups, to Dave's point, are struggling because they're used to having that army of people, now it's not here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think, too, that the fact that we are in a smaller venue has made a big difference in terms of being able to connect with audiences and audiences connecting with us. I know that when you're, like when we did shows on the stage at the high school or at the college, Meyer. Whatever, you don't have that, like you say, the in-the-face thing that you do with them now. And I think it's a lot easier for people to get more fully engaged in what we're doing. Although when you're, it gets to be a little much, like when an audience member is coaching one of the actors during the show that happened recently, then yeah, that gets a little awkward.
But did I miss something somewhere? Okay.
That's Kathleen's story, but yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
When Kathleen's back, we got to make a point to hear this one.
Yeah. All right.
But that's the kind of thing. But you want the audience to really to be that engaged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sure. Yeah. And I think the intimacy of our theater, I think a lot of our return patrons like that. Mm-hmm. I think exactly. They really, really do like that intimacy. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to look out. You know, I directed two shows back to back here, and I just did. I'm not trying to brag. But doing that speech, you know, at the beginning, saying hello and all that, it was nice seeing we saw a lot of new faces, but I saw a lot of returning faces. And it's like, that's really nice to see.
And ultimately, that's what we all need, our returning faces and new faces in order to thrive as a community theater.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably where we have to wrap up our discussion today. We do want to hear from you out there, especially those in larger theaters. You know, what are you seeing as things have gone past? You know, are you there? How are things going? You know, I think there's always been a struggle to put on theater and to stay around. But is it better? Because from what I'm observing, I agree. You know, I think community theater is alive and well. I think Broadway is alive and well. The professional theater seems to be doing more than what I've seen in the past. But as always, you know, it's a bit of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And though we referenced Trivial Pursuit just a little bit ago, for those who didn't catch,
nice segue.
I think we need to do our own little Trivial Pursuit here.
Oh.
If you listen to the Popped Culture podcast, which features at least three of us in this room.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Brian always has a little quiz for us in that one, so we thought we'd bring that little trick over here.
Yeah.
And to celebrate our 75 I still, you know, if anyone told us we'd make it 75,
I would never have thought that.
And frankly, I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking forward to the next 75.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Oh, really?
As long as we can keep coming up with topics.
Yeah.
We may repeat a couple topics as you haven't noticed already.
Did we talk about music? Did we
talk about musical theaters? How much we hate Oklahoma? Yeah. I don't like Oklahoma. I played the nanny twice. I used to have hair.
So you ready? Is that what you're saying? You ready?
I'm ready. I guess.
You ready?
All right. Test well.
Carol is scared.
I am.
But they're just fun. They're for test fun. Sweaty.
You only give tests.
Are there prizes? Yes.
No prizes for this one. I'm sorry.
Then what's my motivation?
You usually have some big
Your motivation tests. Is to have fun with your fellow friends.
I always have fun with you guys.
Well, then enjoy this, darn it.
Oh, we went blue.
Sheesh.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, we'll put her PG rating.
I don't
rating
know,
on
I'll
here.
Make it up.
All right.
PG-13.
There you go. Well, I'm going to give you multiple choice. It's all multiple choice.
Oh, okay.
I probably gave you half the answers. I'm ready.
He gave you a lot of the answers already. So, all right. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right. And we're going to start with Carol, actually.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
all right.
Hit
me.
Okay. Our first episode aired on what date? September 14th, 2021. September 25th, 2021. October 14th, 2021. Don't you be looking at your notes.
Too late.
October 14th, 2021, B, September 25th, 2021, or C, September 13th, 2021?
Well, the dates are so widespread that it's easy to eliminate a couple of them. Now, is the first, are you saying aired or recorded?
Aired.
Aired.
When it, the day it dropped.
Okay. So it can't be, the earliest one, I don't think. I would say it's either got to be September 25th or October. I'm going to go with, what was C?
C was September 13th.
Okay, no, it's not going to be C.
B was September 25th and A was October 14th.
Okay, let's go with B.
September 25th. Ryan, what do you say?
Well, since I wasn't there.
Yeah, nor not, neither was I. So
I do believe, because it wasn't the 13th, I don't think, because my birthday was the day before. So I'm going to say the 25th of September.
I'm going to say the 25th, too, because I believe we recorded on the 13th.
It was September 13th. You can look it right up in Spotify. It says aired September 13th.
Well, you said we're not supposed to.
It was the September 13th recording session. So I must have actually put down the date it was going to drop.
Yeah, because when I looked in Spotify, it says aired on September.
So it's his fault I was wrong.
It's my fault.
Okay.
Because my note-taking was not
wasn't
a little different than it is today.
Okay, this one you're going to get. We're going to start with Ron, though.
Great.
All right. Number two, who was the original gang? Who was the OG?
Oh.
A, Ron, Brian, and David. B, Bob, Brian, and David. Or C, Ron, Bob, and David?
B.
Dave?
The one that had Bob, Brian, and David.
The one without Ron.
That was it. Okay.
Or me.
Actually, the original crew was Ted, Fred, and Sally, but they've all moved on.
They've all moved on, yeah. That was
the daytime version.
We stole their idea.
We're the primetime version.
All right, we're going to start with you, Dave. Number three, what was the first running joke or bit mentioned in the in the podcast? Of these three.
Do we
three,
still have running jokes?
Well, you're still holding on to the Annie.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
I guess I'm going to want to ask our audience, do you miss the running jokes? We can bring gags back.
We did, and we did the episode 14 today, which
we did.
But anyway, what was the first running joke or bit mentioned in our podcast? Was it A, it was better than cats? B, Dave played Daddy Warbucks twice? Or C, Ron's first baseball analogy?
I'm going to say better than cats.
I think I'm going to go with cats as well.
It was. Yeah. It was cats. All right. In what episode? I have a lot of these.
Ron didn't talk much that first episode, if I remember correctly.
In what episode did Brian continually brag about performing on the West End?
Oh, my God.
Was it A? None of you are going to like this quiz. Is it A, episode 11, B, episode 28, or C, episode 33? 11, 28, 33.
I know it was one of the first ones I did, so it couldn't be 11. And we're at 45, or 75. I'm going to say 33.
If
she thinks she was here, I'm going to say 33.
28.
It was 11.
No.
It was 11. Oh, believe me, I'm about to blow your mind with some of these.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
It was episode 11.
That wasn't even a year in.
No. That was 64 episodes ago?
Yes.
Maybe you just bring it up so much.
I did bring it up again today.
Yes.
All right, here's another one. We're going to start with you, Ron. Number five, in which episode did Groupie Carol first appear?
Oh.
Was it A, episode 8, B, episode 15, or C, episode 20?
Dave?
20.
I don't know. Well, and here's the I came and then I didn't come back for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 15.
15.
15.
15. All right.
So Kathleen was the last regular to
Yeah, regular guest appearance. Yeah. Yeah. Bill's been the last groupie to become a groupie because he showed up. Right. But yeah, once or twice.
He wasn't invited. He just showed up.
He wandered in.
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on that situation.
You can't. Pending legal. Pending legal. Well, yeah. Number six.
Another gag. Thank you.
Where are we at here?
Dave.
Sure. Number six. In what episode did Ron's rant first appear?
Oh, that was an early one.
Episode 27, episode 34, or episode 41?
I'm still going to go 27 because I think that was relatively early.
What about you, Karen?
Same.
I think in 27, but I don't know.
34. All right, number...
So the others were
None of us shared our
when the recording wasn't going on.
What's that?
The other rants just... We finally formalized them.
Yeah, we made it. And then once we did that, he never did another one.
Yeah.
And the reason I mentioned the tax thing is because in the other podcasts, he's famous for saying, what's the net worth of whoever star we're talking
hold
about?
Hold on. We're not done yet.
How much has Players Got in the Bank right now?
Yeah. Where are we at now? Okay. Carol. Okay. Number seven. What was Ron's first rant about?
Oh, geez.
Was it A, how annoying divas are? B, how can some theater people be so close-minded? Or C, school editions of adult musicals?
I'm going to go with B.
How can some theater people be so close-minded?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian, the answer is C.
School editions of adult musicals?
Very much C.
School editions of adult
musicals. I remember it.
Nice.
I have a framed poster of it on my wall. It's kind of the manifesto we go by now.
All right, here's another one. Number eight. In what episode did groupie Kathleen appear?
Okay.
First appear. Okay. No. And we are with
me.
You. A, episode 38, B, episode 41, or C, episode 43.
They all just run together.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 43, just to be contrarian.
All right. Dave, 38, 41, 43.
I think we're counting differently, so I'll say 41.
Okay.
Well, it can't be 38 because the even numbers are the second ones we record. So
that wasn't always that way, though.
Oh, okay. Well,
shot that down.
It wasn't. I will tell you, it wasn't always that way because there was one or two we had to record differently, and so the number system went off a little bit.
Okay, so what did you say, 41?
I said 43.
43, what did you say?
I said 40. I thought it was 40, so I said 41.
Okay, then I'll say 38.
38.
When I went through them, it looked like it was 40.
Really? Because in 38, you introduced her as the...
Because when I looked at the script for that one, it was...
Get my phone.
Maybe it's really not episode 75.
It could be the way I saved the script.
Maybe it's not.
When I...
Dun, dun, dun.
It may not be. Because, well, according to Spotify and Apple, it is. Because when I looked, Kathleen introduced herself.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that was episode 40.
Okay.
But I may have mislabeled because I had a penchant for reusing my outlines.
Oh, okay.
And then when I'd save them, I'd save with the name of the current one, but within the body, I might not have remembered to change the episode name.
Okay.
So I will defer to Brian's research.
Who's next?
Wrong though it may be.
Folks, if you enjoy this, just check out pop culture. This is what you get. Number nine, in episode 50, this is an easy one. Sure. In episode 50, what was the topic? Was it A, the importance of children's theater? B, how do you know what audiences want to see? Or C, Shakespeare?
Episode 50.
Oh, I think
I'm trying to think. I don't think it's that easy. I think it was Shakespeare.
Seems to me like every episode we talk about what audiences want to see. So I'm going with that one.
Okay.
What is that face you're making?
No, never mind. Never mind.
A.
A.
The importance of children's theater.
Shakespeare. That was the one where we invited Bill. Yeah. Yep, was the big 5-0.
I was thinking that we had it was another very special episode. Yes. So.
Who's next?
Carol.
Who starts?
Carol.
Carol. Number 10, which two groupies admitted that they had legal issues with each other? All tongue-in-cheek. Was it A, Bob and Dave? A, Bob and Dave. B, Ron and Bill. C, Kathleen and Carol.
I am so confused.
Do you listen to our...
I do. I swear I do. Because I want to make sure if I say anything stupid that I don't tell people to listen.
That's why our numbers have gone down.
Yeah.
Every listener counts.
Yeah. I'm going to say, who is it, Bill and who?
Ron and Bill.
Ron and Bill. I'm going with Ron and Bill.
All right.
Hang on, I got to check with my legal counsel.
Am I allowed to answer that question?
It's B.
Ron and Bill?
Ron and Bill.
Yep, Ron and Bill. Number 11.
Okay, wait a minute. I need some follow-up on that.
Okay. Ron, just when we were introducing on episode 50 when Bill showed up and Dave was introducing, Ron made a joke about not being able to be in the same room as Bill. Bill, of course, immediately took off and it just became a bit. Okay. It just became a bit.
A little bit of a bit.
Yep. 11. Who made their family Thanksgiving even more interesting by mentioning a family member's attitude towards community theater? Was it A, Dave, B, Ron, C, Bob?
Well, that was Bob. That
it was Dave. The answer is A.
Dave.
Yeah, it was Dave. One of my favorite moments. Number 12. Another easy one.
It's Dave.
And we're going to start with Dave. We're going to start with Dave.
Yeah.
Number 12. What musical do Carol and Brian agree is a total disaster? A, Tootsie, B, An Officer and a Gentleman, or C, And Juliet?
Officer and a Gentleman.
Same.
Love lifts us up where we love.
Carol loved And Juliet.
Yes, she did. And I had seen Tootsie and thought it would have been better as a straight comedy play than the musical. Anyway, 13. Carol, who is the only groupie other than our el defacto, Dave, to have hosted an episode? Was it A, Brian, B, Ron, or C, Bob?
I'm going to say it's Brian because you always jump in the introduction anyway, so why not?
I only did that 5 times.
Yeah.
Let's go with Dave first. We'll go with you, Sal.
I think it was Brian.
Actually, I sat in the el defacto chair twice. So, yes.
Sat in it?
It was right.
Sat in the chair.
Okay. No, he hosted.
I did host.
It was me, him, and DeVoe.
Yep.
Okay. That was way back in the day.
So I knew I was gone.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian refused.
Brian refused.
I said, no, I can't. I can't.
Because no. Brian was my heir,
Heir apparent.
Heir apparent.
Yes.
I don't know what happened.
And now it all makes sense.
All those years of mentoring down the drain.
Sorry, Ron. But they were memorable episodes, Ron. Number 14. We're at Ron now, right?
Episode 14?
No. Question 14. Yeah.
It all the time.
Question 14. What is the only episode that that did not drop on their usual Monday morning? Was it episode 61, episode 69, or episode 75?
Episode
75. Yep. hope you all are getting this on Tuesday. Might be Wednesday, folks. 15. These I wrote down real quick because they just popped in my head today. I was listening to an episode. In episode number 41, Dave opened the episode differently than usual. What were his first words? Was it A, here we go again, B, you need to leave, or C, I can't believe I just forgot my own name?
Oh, they're all so plausible. I think it was you need to leave.
I know he said all of them. But he says, here we go again all the time. So I don't think that would be unique. Let's go with, what was the other one besides you? Here we go again. And
here we go again. You need to leave.
Oh, I forgot my own name.
All right.
Let's go with that. I forgot your own name. My own name.
You need to leave.
You need to leave. I was coming back from a bronchitis, and I must have said something snarky, and okay. then I hit the thing, and he said, you need to leave. And finally, two more. Real quick, number 16, in what episode did Kathleen first mention her obsession with director's notes? Was it A, episode 41, episode B, episode 53, or C, episode 55? We start with Carol, I think, on that one.
53.
Double nickel.
I'll go with double nickel, too. 55.
Episode 41. Same one as...
Very early.
Yep. Okay. And then finally, number seven.
So her first appearance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Numbers.
Beating that horse for a long time.
Was it her first 41. Appearance?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's been... and finally...
Day one, Kathleen. We've been right there on us.
Number 17.
And we still don't do them regularly.
Number 17. Real quick. This is not in a multiple choice. This is a fill in the blank. What is the income of our El de facto yearly?
No,
it was a joke. That was just a joke. It's a joke.
Say, as an El de facto.
That was just a joke for all of you that might listen to pop culture. That was a joke. Okay. Anyway, that's the quiz. Frosty. Very
Yay.
Good, folks.
All right.
Thank you.
Yay. Happy 75.
Happy 75. Yeah, like I say, numbers are meaningless, but it's not a bad idea just to kind of pause and take a gander around and see what's what again. Hey, though, before we close, want to do shout-outs to a lot of people. We couldn't make it 75 episodes. Well, we think you're part of the 75 episodes and what's wrong? Okay. You're part of it, and we just frankly wouldn't be doing this if all you out there were listening weren't there. So shout out to some of the groupies of the past who are not with us here today. We already mentioned Kathleen's not with us. DeVoe Riggs, who's happily living her best Disney life in Florida. Bill McCluskey's been on the air before with us as well. I don't know. Have we had anyone else in yet? And we've been talking about how we're going to hopefully get a few more people through so you can get some other voices
as well. Forget about Bob.
And of course, Bob. I can't forget Bob. How can I forget Bob? I want to thank the listeners, especially those of you who have interacted with us. And it's always dangerous when I do a list of names because I couldn't leave someone out. But, you know, Patricia, thank you for participating on Facebook. We appreciate that. Our relatives who listen, you know, I'm thinking especially my nephew and niece, Robert and Caitlin, you know, people who gave us feedback way back in the day before we even realized we had something going on here. Corey, Andrea, who gave us the phrase for the love of theater, Ken, Christopher, and so many others who just stopped us. Actually, and believe it or not, we get stopped in public for people that know us and say, hey, I listen to the podcast. I love it. And that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we get things thrown at us too, but I won't talk about that. No, we don't. I hope we don't. But we're just so happy that you've been along for the ride. We continue to go forward. We're looking forward to another 75, depending on the numbers that this show returns back to us today. This episode. But no, we are doing it for the love of theater. None of us are making any money on it. This is a volunteer operation, and it, as is all too apparent sometimes, totally produced and put together by us as well. But it does look like we are out of time for this episode. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate your listening. We appreciate the work that you are doing in your communities to keep theater alive and to make it meaningful and relevant this day and age. We appreciate feedback, conversations, so be sure to visit our Facebook page for more fun. Search for the Monroe Community Players Podcast. Look for Green Room Groupies, which we discovered if you put in Google. We're the first hit under that one. Emails can be sent to the MCPpodcast@monroecommunityplayers.org. And keep up with the latest shows and activities of the Monroe Community Players, as I know some of you do. Go to monroecommunityplayers.org. We generally release two episodes a month, this one on a Tuesday or Wednesday, but usually the second and fourth Monday. And take a moment to subscribe, like, otherwise rate us, help spread the word that we are here. The Art and Business of Community Theater is presented by the Monroe Community Players, recorded at the Monroe County Library. Ellis Branch Podcast Studio. We also want to thank Impact Studios for their assistance in distributing the show. And from Groupies Plaza, for the love of theater, we will see you
in the green room.
Well, goodbye. beautiful slice of heaven.